Okay, K is bringing the music. I mean, he's always like creative around the music when we have these shows because he wants to make sure it's representative of our guests. And we are so excited to be back with another episode of the Bed Talks podcast. We are talking to Rachel Fascio and Stacy Sherrell. They own a practice called Decoding Couples. You know, I'm like an Instagram stalker of good information of relationships. You should know that. And so I stumbled up on their reels. And if anyone knows anything about creating reels, especially if you're doing it on the business side, it takes so much energy because you really want to concisely get out a good message within, it used to be 30 seconds. Now we have a full minute. So these ladies have really nailed that process of just like bringing real practical relationship advice. I believe in that wholeheartedly. I don't want to share things, and Kay and I don't want to share things on the show that don't work. We've all been up and down and in and out of relationships. And I think at the end of the day, most of us want to be in a healthy, sustainable relationship. So we're so excited to welcome Rachel and Stacy to the show.
Hi.
Welcome, welcome, ladies. So why don't you tell the audience a little bit about, you know, how you two got started? Because I think your technique is a little interesting because typically it is so hard to get couples into therapy. And I like that you guys are kind of the midpoint because it's like, I really don't want to go to therapy. I've been there, done that. And I don't feel like it's going to take me 6 months. I'm exaggerating, no knock to therapists out there. It's going to take me like 6 months to get to the point. But you guys are kind of that midpoint because you too were in relationships where you knew you needed something extra and you wanted to create something that was like usable, practical, you know, realistic. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you just told our background. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, like, that's pretty good.
So we, Decoding Couples is a pandemic baby that basically came of Rachel and I, we share a suite together. So when we were really only seeing each other in 2020 and talking about the struggles that were coming up in our relationships and being able to support each other and have it be non-judgmental and safe, but then also we are lucky enough to be therapists. We have education and tools to be able to help ourselves and help one another. We were like, we know we're not the only ones going through this. So we need, like, why don't we talk about this stuff and talk about what people are struggling with and put it out there and make it feel normal and make it feel real. So that is how Decoding Couples started and really has just blown up. Our goal is just to make people feel normal and not judged, but also walk away with actual tools that work. If you're not able to get to full-blown couples therapy, but you don't want to read a self-help book, that's our goal and that's what we're doing. And I think we're doing it pretty well, if I do say so myself.
Well, there's a lot of people that were in the shoes and are in the shoes that we were in when we created Decoding Couples, which is we've got one or both partners or multiple partners that are like, I'm not going to therapy or I'm not ready for therapy, but they have done some work, whether it's individually, whether they've gone through some self-help stuff, and nothing is sticking. So Decoding Couples was really this just like in between of like, you don't need to be in a therapist's office, but you also don't need to be acting like there's no issues going on in your relationship to see change. And we are very, very transparent people with each other. And we were like, why don't we be that transparent on the internet with strangers and see what happens?
Because what could go wrong then?
What could happen? It'll just be this tiny little Instagram and YouTube channel. Just kidding. And now we embarrass ourselves with psychoeducation in front of 80,000 people every day.
Love it. That's the beauty of transparency. That's the beauty of transparency. But I have to ask you guys, what are you decoding?
What's going on? Because I think that is another thing, right? We see it a lot professionally that you'll have a couple go, well, you know, like our communication is really bad. They come in and go, we just have communication issues. And Stacy and I like decode that instantly. It's like this thing goes up and then you see all the little rivers that it leads to. So we really are breaking down when someone's like, I feel unheard. When your partner's like, I feel unseen. What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, and that means something different for your relationship, my relationship, Stacy's relationship. So we really try and decode when someone's like, I have attachment issues. Mm-hmm. I'm codependent. That's not helping anyone. Those titles are not helping anyone. And they keep people out of getting help.
I agree. I think like we've gotten really good, like collectively as a society. I'm glad the pendulum has swung and that people have mental health awareness. But I think there needs to be a balance of understanding that these are things you can deal with and manage through. And what do they really mean? And I feel like in relationships sometimes it's kind of like, I need more time with you. It's so generic, right? And your partner's like, you need more time with me. Like, I'm here with you all the time, after work, before work, with the kids. And I think, but when you put like a more specificity around it and you're like, I need to spend an hour with you one-on-one doing something that is just the two of us, that's more specific and actionable. And I think that's what you're saying. Like, you're taking things that people classify really like generically, and you're giving them more specificity and action around it.
Yeah, but what it sounds like you guys are really doing, you're simply converting, you're translating, okay, thus the term decoding. And I think that's good in a sense, because there are so many terms and words that are just being thrown out there. And when it's all said and done, do people really know what they mean? You know, they don't. And that's where you guys come in at.
Yeah, because I think a lot of people, like, we were on this narcissist tangent. Everyone was a narcissist. And I was like,
yeah. We just talked about that. So annoying. Narcissist and gaslighting was everything.
Yeah. Everything. Yeah.
You're a gaslighter and everyone's a narcissist.
Yeah. So let's get into it. I think there's a lot like happening out here in the relationship realm. And I know you guys probably have hot buttons. I know I do. And sometimes, you know, we hear these terms like, that's a deal breaker for me. You know, I'm not going to deal with that. I would never settle for that. I mean, let's talk about like what really truly can be or should be a deal breaker versus like in a relationship realistically, what, you know, deal breakers mean. What do you guys, you know, what's your take?
Or should there even be any deal breakers? I mean, let's take this a step further. Should there be a term?
As Rachel covers her face for those listening.
Deal breaking. I mean, you know, we again, and we talked, audience, before we went on air. You know, we use these terms, and in actuality, we don't even know what these terms mean. And when those terms that we are so frivolously using, when it meets us at that point, hey, I thought this was a deal breaker. It's not. It's kind of like the friend who counsels everyone, you know, girl, if I were you, hey, my man, it's no way I would take that. But now you find yourselves wearing those same shoes or heels for the ladies. All right. And next thing you know, it's like, whoa, remember what you told me? You're not following. I thought that was a deal breaker. Let's touch on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the first place to start, right? Is things that we would even identify as deal breakers, maybe before getting into a relationship, or we saw our parents go through something. I would never tolerate that. Right. And then you find yourself and it's totally different. So, you know, I understand the umbrella of deal breakers, but I also think that it's not that simple. Like, if we're going back to the decoding part of things, you might think you know your boundaries, but relationships are complicated. Mm. And what you thought might be a deal breaker really might not mean that in the long run. So I think that's just what's important to be mindful of. What we think before relationship versus during one, two totally different ball games.
Uh-oh.
And going back to what Kay had mentioned, that
Kay's throwing out applause, you know, for that, but go ahead.
Yeah. What Kay had mentioned, like, should there even be a deal breaker? Is the thing that even went to my head was like, I'm going real therapist. Like, what's the secondary gain? Okay, so what's not as obvious, but maybe what is the less obvious reason that we're all sitting there in our early 20s saying, like, this would be a deal breaker. I'm never going to do this. Like, what's that about? Because, like, Stace is saying deal breakers in the context of real relationship, whereas when you have history with someone, when there's multiple things involved, it's not cut and dry. It's not that simple. But yet it's very popular to say, like, oh, if he cheated, if she did this, I would never tolerate what my parents put me through. We kind of like almost, I don't know, like peacock about these deal breakers. But why? Like, I don't know. I feel like it's almost setting us all up for failure, as if then we'll know when to get out, or we'll know who's the bad one, or we'll know who to blame. Like, I don't like any of it. Do I individually have some core deal breakers? Sure. But I also can't go, here's my deal breaker, I'm gonna go check out now, I'll go in aisle four. Like, it's just not like that. But I think it's very interesting that I mean, we were all getting that messaging, like, you better know your deal breakers, you better know. And maybe they've become synonymous with boundaries, which is also not a good thing because they're very different.
Yeah. I think that, all right, so as we're talking this out, my thoughts are, I think that deal breakers in the traditional way are kind of, can I cuss on this podcast?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't. Let me censor myself. Thanks. Are kind of bullshit, right? Yes. This idea of what everybody talks about. If he cheated on me, I'm out. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, okay, like, let's see once you're in it. But I do think that there can be valid deal breakers when it comes to, like, your core values, right? Like, if I found out my, like, husband was abusing my daughter, I'm out, and nothing would be negotiable for that, right? Like, I do think that there are things that can really align with, like, our values and can be hard-nosed, hard deal breakers, but that's rarely what we talk about when we hear people talking about what deal breakers are, and this expectation that if somebody wrongs you, you're gone. If they cheat on me, I'm out. Like, I think we just talk about deal breakers in the wrong way.
And I think, you know, as we're talking, you know, yes, deal breakers is the term deal breaking has kind of taken precedence over what we're, you know, discussing. But let's be real here. A lot of this is verbally. We're just verbally expressing these things. Some things you shouldn't have. It's like being interviewed. OK, I've shared this with Elizabeth before. If you want to inquire about some things in reference to me, be tactful about it. You know, when you're telling me, it almost sounds like you're giving ultimatums, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, so some things I just believe, instead of saying, oh, this is a deal breaker for me, that can automatically turn the other person off, because it's almost like you're implying, I'm telling you now, buddy, you do this, I'm out of here. No. So yeah. I like what you guys just stressed and what you said in reference to that.
Yeah. Well, and Kay, I think that was essentially what Rachel was saying of the difference between deal breakers and boundaries, right? Mm-hmm. We can have boundaries for ourselves and have lines in our relationship that we would like to be respected, or else then we get to make the choice of what we do with that or not. But you're absolutely right. A deal breaker can be communicated as an ultimatum, and that doesn't mean growth in the relationship. It's one thing to say, hey,
deal breaker smoking.
Yes.
This is why this is offensive to me. This is why, whatever, smoking is not okay. This is why it's important to me. And you give your partner the opportunity and the choice to be able to talk back, to be able to negotiate this, to learn, to grow, to do something different. But if you just say, you smoke again, I'm out, that's also not a healthy relationship. That's not fostering.
And isn't this a part of the dating process as well?
You would hope so.
Yes.
You would hope so. That's where Elizabeth comes in.
Right.
That's where Elizabeth comes in and gets them straight before they go into the relationships, so that they can practice those assertive communications and what is going on within them that they can't have those. So that's why we send Elizabeth in first.
Yeah, I feel like dating is your, like, it's your discovery phase of getting to know someone, but it's also good training around communication and understanding how to set boundaries, how to relate to another person. And I think people do almost like, the thing I think that bothers me, that's a hot button for me, is that everyone's always talking about what they want, but the reality is we need each other. And so there is a meeting in the middle, right, of understanding, first of all, like, who you are, because I think that's a big part of, like, what you are attracting and how you interact with people. Because if you don't know yourself, it's very difficult to even know, like, what your boundaries are or what your limitations are. And I think that's why there's failure on the other side, because people get so excited to be in a relationship that they may settle based out of, like, feeling like they have to do it right now, they don't have enough time left, or they may feel like, I got to do this because this is what the expectation is, as opposed to, like, them doing it because this is where I want to be, who I want to be with truly. This is who I am. This person matches with my core values and things like that. So I feel like we are in this weird state where people go very extreme in their advice, that is either, like, all the woman's fault, all the man's fault. But I think it's equal. Like, they're in a relationship, is shared accountability. Otherwise, it just doesn't. It's difficult. It's a difficult thing to navigate.
But let me ask all three of you experts. Okay, you know, when you're in the dating phase, okay, and that term deal breaker never comes into play, you can still, while in that dating phase, see things that are becoming deal breakers for you or boundaries, as mm-hmm. you guys have already suggested. And guess what? In that phase, and maybe this is a plus or a minus for me, but there have been times in my past, if I saw that there were various numerous deal breakers, not saying that I was better than them and they were better than me, but boundaries again, that were just repeatedly being crossed. Do you know that I would just politely, silently remove myself from that situation? Because we're dating. And again, this may not go well with the audience. I've had conversations with Elizabeth about this. I'm not going to come to someone and say, hey, that's a deal breaker what you just did. No. First of all, I want you to be you. So whether you pull out a Lucy, you know, that's what we call it down in the South, you know, and you're dragging that Lucy and we've went on, you know, several dates. And every time, you know, I see you pulling on that Lucy, you know, for me personally, it's like, you know, this is a cool individual, but I see that's a vice that they may have that I'm not willing at this time to subject myself to instead of me verbally. Oh, that's a deal breaker. You just pulled out another Salem Winston Light. No. I just gradually realized this is one thing. And then there are other, I guess you could say, boundaries that have been crossed in reference to what I like and dislike that I don't have to say or feel the need to say anything. If we've known each other for 3 weeks, you understand? It's
so you're saying you don't say anything though?
Oh, she's going to get in this one.
Definitely. That's why I just said, if it's 3 weeks, if it's been 3 weeks, 4 weeks, yes.
Is this you? Is this you in the relationship? Like, you're like, all right.
Yep, there you go. You know why? And let me tell you why. I like that. Look, she's moving off the camera. Oh, like, Rachel's moving off the camera. Like, oh, she's back.
Because I thought I misunderstood. I was like, no, he's not saying anything. And then you were like, I'm going to be really polite. I'm quiet. It's only the 3 weeks. I don't have a lot of skin in the game. Like, but, and then.
Yep.
You are a communicator. And you're telling me that at 3 weeks, you couldn't be like, I see this. And. It doesn't work for me. You just kind of quietly, like...
He's detached. He attaches.
Because I don't want to... First of all, people are going... We are going to be who we're going to be, all right?
For sure.
I don't ever want it to appear where if I'm verbally expressing to this person, you know, hey, you know, I don't like when you... I don't want to keep using smoking references, but I don't like when you, you know, you don't tip the waitress. Every time the waitress serves us, you just say, oh, she's doing what she's supposed to do. You know, that doesn't go well with me. And if I've seen it a few times or more, I'm the type to say, this is who she is. Okay, let her continue to be who she is, because now it appears I'm trying to coach you. Hey, why do you have to do this? No, I told Elizabeth this a long time ago. She asked, so what are you looking in? What do you look for in a woman? And I said, just continue to be with me and you'll find out. Now, that may sound harsh. That may sound harsh, but let me tell you why I said that, because I found
it just sounds fun.
Yeah.
It was quite a fun journey. Go ahead.
I say that because, as I told her, I said, sweetie, I've learned the hard way that in my past experiences, when a woman would ask that, I found she was becoming something that she was not to try to appeal to me, which is flattering, and vice versa. I think we all do it to a certain extent. We want to impress the other person. But when you lose who you truly are, I'm a firm believer that eventually time is a revealer of what the essence and foundation of who we are will eventually come out. So I don't feel the need to say, hey, I noticed you never tip the waiter, you know, the waiter. You know, why don't you? If that's your MO, continue. I realize you don't see the value in just tipping someone or paying for a particular service. So, yes. Sorry about that, guys. I was the type that was just, okay, I want you to continue being you while I ease out of the picture, because there's plenty others in the sea, in the grand scheme of things, that don't have a problem with what you do. I'm one of those who would.
You know, I think this brings up a really interesting point. I think that there are different phases of understanding what deal breakers or boundaries or how I communicate them or how I don't. And I hear what you're saying. Like, if you're not investing in this person, you're in the dating phase. Like, do I really need to go through the whole, let me explain to you why this is offensive and let me see if you can change if it's 2 weeks in and you know that they're just not for you, right? Like, I get that. And I think it's different when you're a year in and there's something that keeps coming up or you learn something new that you're like, I love this person. I'm invested in our relationship. So how do I talk about this in a way that could lead to growth or them to understand me? And then I think, you know, 10 years later, if you're married and an affair happens or something like that, there's a different way we handle and manage and communicate those boundaries and deal breakers. So I think what you're saying is fair and like right, that there's different stages, and maybe in the dating stage you realize it's a deal breaker for you, then it's your job to walk away from the relationship versus saying you need to change for me.
Correct.
Or we need to work on this together.
Well put.
But as time goes on, it can definitely evolve and looks different via the like investment of the relationship.
Well put, Ray. And you're exactly right. There are stages. That's why I kept emphasizing dating. I didn't say anything about, you know, once you know, this is my wife. So, yes, there's different parameters. There are different levels of communications. You know, it's not, just walk away. No, you should have more vested into how you guys communicate one to another. So thank you for not only expounding on that, but also clarifying it even the more. I'm talking about stages, the dating stage, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who've been married 10 years.
Okay, I want to play devil's advocate with Kay. So say someone has, they're dating someone like a Kay. But they like, say this K hasn't totally detached. He's kind of showing signs of interest, but he's not like communicating these things. What would you tell that person to get that K to open up? Like, what would you guys suggest? Because I do think there's situations where I always say, like, you know, I was watching a reality show, and I'm not a big reality show person, but I'm like you guys, I'm sure as you watch shows, we're always analyzing why people do things, what shapes them. So that's the interest to me. But I think the reason people, I was like, today it clicked. I'm like, I think people are into reality shows because it's really giving us a sense of who someone is. Like, sometimes you're like, that person seems so odd or quiet or this
scripted
way. I know it's scripted, but when you look at the background of who they are, this is the truth part of it, though. This is the truth part. Like, I think reality shows are definitely scripted, but I think the background of it is once you kind of see where they come from, their background, you're like, oh, like if someone grew up and they didn't have a relationship with their parents and their core was just them and their sibling making it, that could explain some of their mentality. Or if a parent died, that could explain some of their detachment. You know, so
you want us to explain K.
Yeah. So explain the K theoretically. Like, me and K are good guys, but I'm saying it from the perspective of, I know there's people that date people that like they could be with a K and they get ghosted and they're like, what happened? Like,
in what phase though? Let's clarify now.
Well, let's say like
dating. We're not judging.
We're not judging dating, but say like they're in a relationship for a period of time and they're really trying to get to know this person, like a 6 month period, a year period. Okay. So this is the good K. He's in there. He's hanging in there, but he's kind of quiet. He's kind of in and out. They're like, what's that? How did they get someone like that to kind of like improve? How can they improve, I guess, communication, you know, techniques with them? Because K could be just sitting back watching. You know, we're saying K in the relationship. Like,
and if
just,
you will, at Fontega.
Okay, K Fontega. He wants to have a name.
Yes.
Full name.
The fancy name.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, but go ahead. I'm curious to hear this response.
I think that, so when you were talking about how, number one, I don't think there's anything wrong with not wanting, right, to have to do that, you know, kind of emotional labor to be like, these are the reasons why I'm not interested in you in that early dating phase. We, I think, are all in agreement. We are on Team K about that. 100%. When you were talking about it, though, and saying, like, who am I to, you know, tell that person, hey, the way you talk to the wait staff or whatnot, you know, that doesn't sit well with me. I don't want to change that person. What I instantly thought about was just like, wow, like you must be a very caring person, like on your own, because you're really thinking about how you impact someone else. And so you're saying, my interpretation, I don't have a lot going on with this person, and I'm also not going to rock their world if I don't need to. I thought about how Elizabeth thought about it, of like, that's a ghosting, like all my stuff. I was like, you need to be direct. They need to know. They're just going to go repeat that crap somewhere else. But I understand where you're coming from. But we talk about this a lot. It's intent and impact. Your intent may be not to change who they are or say something that is going to upset them. And that, honestly, frankly, you don't want to explain because you know you're out anyway. But the impact of maybe slowly detaching, if you ghost, we're not saying you ghost, might be different. Like, that person may never think like, wow, you know, he just wanted to let me like go on my way. They may go, what was so wrong with me? And to go back to Elizabeth's original point, I think of the reason we try to just be like, I'm just going to leave this or not say anything, because at the end of the day, we don't know how to have transparent, honest, assertive, like communication.
at a very basic level. And as a society right now, I think we're really struggling with that. And so you see that in relationships all the time. That is why communication skills and like our content, right, does so well, because 99% of people are not taught how to talk about your feelings, how to talk about yourself, take pride in yourself, take pride in your self-worth, communicate that to a partner. And so I think that the bigger thing is that we don't know how to talk about it. We're really bad at it. And then we grow into adults that are really bad at talking about it.
Yep. So I think Kay agree.
That, oh my goodness. That was well put. You guys, seriously, no. I'm listening, but as I always do, as I listen, excuse me, as I listen, I also learn. And again, the way that Rachel expounded on it, awesome. The way Stacy is expounding on it, awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why they are the decoders. But no, seriously, well put.
It is. I like how you each approach it from different, you know, perspectives. Like you, there's balance there. And I like what you said about communication. I mean, if it was easy, I always look at it even like, you know, people always think, oh, if you get the head position like the president, you should be able to figure these things out. But you got to look at it. The president is dealing with people that are just like him, you know, similar personalities across the world. And even in the best communication strategies, there's still a letdown or still a failure or still someone who doesn't see that communication or understand that communication the right way. So like when we think about our relationships, that's why I kind of laugh that we think it would be simple. You know, it's a process, and it's like building those habits and being aware, you know, of kind of where your gaps are to build into those gaps. So I like a lot of your strategies. I know you guys offer like a masterclass around this too. Can you guys tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Sure. So we created a free masterclass at the beginning of this year to basically help couples do exactly what we're talking about. Start having the conversations around previous fights, around the tough stuff, the past hurts, but to start conversations that actually lead to growth and healing. So what we have found in a lot of what we're talking about is how we start conversations typically starts us off on the wrong foot that leads to unproductive conversations. So we laid it out in a 5-step process, giving each partner their own role. If you were the partner that hurt your person, we're going to tell you what you need to do to be a good listener and work towards repair. If you are hurt, we're going to teach you how to communicate that hurt and advocate for what you need so you can move forward. So we're not just doing the unhealthy communication dance. So it's called Stop Fighting, Start Talking. It's totally free. And it's the first five-step process to getting into healthier communications and start healing in your relationship.
Can you briefly share like how people start off the communication the wrong way? Like what you've seen, you know, that's
bad, kinda... like really bad.
So here's a good example that Rachel and I do, or this is part of this masterclass. Rachel and I run a suite together for our private practices. So we are business owners and that we run a suite. We're coworkers because we're in a suite together. We own Decoded Couples together. Plus, we're very good friends. So we have a complicated dynamic. And in three of things where there was tension or fight, we had to navigate our relationship too. Okay. Bad thing. We each would have our client. We know there'd be something wrong between us. We're like about to go shut our own doors. And Rachel would be like, hey, after this client, we need to talk about what happened. And then we have to close our own doors and then like be present for 15 minutes. So like, that's an example. Timing. Like, are we starting?
Why you gotta call me out like that? I thought I had stress.
Okay. We gotta make it relatable. Right?
Let's but like, we've all done. Crash after. We're gonna talk about the crash after.
Knock it off.
Too close.
So poor timing is a huge one. We engage in, my husband all the time, I'm like trying to go to sleep. And he's like, so tell me about, I'm like, I don't want to talk about this. I'm trying to go to sleep, right? Like timing are things that we see go wrong. Basic communication styles, coming up to someone saying, you did this, is most likely
going to trigger something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wrong foot, right? So different communication tactics, things like timing. What else? What am I missing, Rach?
Well, and we get into like the other four steps, right, in the masterclass. But I also think that when something is a hot spot in a relationship, it's hard to talk about, or it's a stuck point, right? Like people say, oh, we got in a fight about coffee, but it wasn't about coffee.
I was going to just say that. It's never about the argument. Yeah, it's never about the thing you're arguing about.
It's never about that. And I think people naively, and, you know, I put myself in that boat, but like, oh, when I talk about it now, it's going to be different. Like, look, I'm doing this one tiny thing a little different, and now she will be receptive. Have you been in your relationship? Have you been in these four walls? You know that that's not true. You know, and so we also like set that foundation that this is going to take time. You both are going to make mistakes. It's chronic. It's a hurt, like Stacey said, that hasn't gone away for a reason. So stop walking into these conversations like you're going to do something a little different and it's all going to be rainbows and butterflies. It's not.
It's a video you did where you're like, you guys were, it was really cute. It was a reel, and you're like having a good time with your partner. And then you remember something they did and you're like, you're grooving. Oh, and then you're like, I just remember something. Mm-hmm. And if you get that like sour look on your face, it changes the whole so mood good. Because there's just certain things that are sticking points. I call them touchy topics too. Like,
that's a good one.
I've had to learn, like, even in my communication with Kay, he would be like, your timing is horrible. Like, this is like Sunday is the Sabbath. You know, like, this is a peaceful day. You're like bringing this up. And I would be like, oh, shoot. And so I had to have more. I had to learn the hard way. And so I had to learn to just, you know what, there's a time for it. And sometimes I just have to hold myself back, and he'll be like, how long have you been holding that in? So like, he knows me and he knows I want to communicate it, but I'm trying to be more thoughtful about when I communicate it.
Let me say this though, because, and I'm glad, you know, Elizabeth brought that up. I never want, and even me, there are times I know I've brought things to her attention that were at, you know, the wrong time. Okay. But my thing is always communication. I never want it to be where, oh, you can only communicate to me with things that could possibly spark, you know, an argument. You can only communicate those things to me Monday through Friday from 7 to 8 PM. No, that's not how it works. So I never want it to appear, hey, Elizabeth, you of all days, you talking about, you know, I had to learn also, whenever you're ready to talk, I always want you to talk. Because guess what? When I'm ready to communicate to you about something, I would like to have the respect of me being able to communicate that to you. Now, we don't want to be party poopers. We don't want to try to destroy a good moment that we're having. But there is a saying. Now, we normally use this term in areas of growing in your career. You know, you have to fight to get to any next level in your life. Now, this is going to be a curveball because, yes, we know you have to fight to get to any next level in your life. Well, guess what? When we as couples, you all as couples are fighting, believe it or not, we are still hopefully getting to the next level so we don't have to go to those underbelly, those previous levels again. So when Elizabeth brings that up, she's right. But I also had to catch myself because I didn't want her and do not want her to think, hey, there's a particular, you're on a schedule when we can talk about things that may be uncomfortable. I don't want that.
Yeah, but I have learned that the timing is important, though. I mean, I think there's a balance. You're right. Like, you shouldn't be holding back, but the timing is important. Like, if it's a celebratory moment or a birthday or something, you should not be bringing up, like, because I've coached people who go on dates.
Is that why you took the candles off my cake?
Yes, that is. No.
No, okay. That's a joke. So, I had an amazing birthday. My wife just threw out the red carpet. My goodness. Amazing birthday. But go ahead. Sorry.
No, because it was a young lady I was coaching once, and it was like her birthday celebration, and the guy was taking her out to dinner. And she's like, well, I want to ask him these like serious questions about like, where are we in the relationship? And I said, it's not the right timing. Mm. I think your questions are appropriate, but I think it's preparing people for that timing too. Like, you don't want to just thrust it in a situation where, you know, there's other things going on. So I think there's a time and a place for it too. Because I think people just receive it better. And you're right. Like, if you're going to bed and you're tired and that's your downtime and you have kids and you're balancing your work and other things, it's like you may not be as receptive to hearing something versus when you're like fresh and kind of can, you know, receive that information. I guess there was one more thing I wanted to talk to you about, you know, before you guys go, is healthy conflict. I think like there's a weird thing going on where on the internet, people are very comfortable confronting and saying whatever they feel. But when it comes,
they sure are.
Like, incredibly so. But when it comes to real life, I think, you know, and myself too, like I put myself in this box too. We struggle with like healthy conflict resolution, but I think there's so much like learning and so much reward on the back end of having that conflict, because when we hold it in, I think that's when things get more, you know, difficult in the relationship, when you're holding back or you're holding things in that you want to get out to your partner. So what are like some of the techniques that you guys give to your clients to help them, you know, have that healthy, you know, conflict? Because conflict is going to come up in a relationship because it's two people going through different things. Then you have other dynamics happening outside of that, with, you know, raising kids, having a family, having a career, having personal things happen in people's life, right? Different seasons. Mm-hmm. So how do you, you know, like kind of advise people through the best ways where the conflict doesn't become, you know, I'm trying to think, where it's respectful and it's about the issue and it's not an attacking, you know, scenario where they're attacking one another?
I mean, I don't mean to shameless plug, but I'm going to.
Go for it.
That's literally why we created the relationship roadmap. What you two are picking up on and seeing, I think a lot of relationships don't even know that they are treading on that very thin ice of, no, we're talking about it, where this conflict is healthy. This isn't fighting, you know, it's arguing, and lines are being crossed and disrespect is happening. Lack of safety, whether that, God forbid, is physical or emotional, is actually very prevalent. And we've been talking about this a lot more. So within the Relationship Roadmap, which is our online course, we really teach you not only here are just like communication faux pas, things that you shouldn't be doing, but here are some absolute things that you just can't be violating. It's not even a shouldn't. It's not even a, oh, you shouldn't do that. You cannot make someone feel unsafe. You cannot belittle them. You cannot degrade them or be disrespectful. And here's all the ways that shows up societally as acceptable that you were probably taught is okay to say, you know, Stacey, effing stop saying that. In a conversation, if we're fighting, we're now no longer fighting. It has gotten to a whole other level of conflict that is unsafe. And so I think what we really take the time to do in that section especially is, here's all these communication issues, but here's where you are crossing a line, and then how you're perpetuating crossing that line. It goes from conflict to unhealthy conflict, and you're making it a norm in your relationship. And that is scary, and it's scary how common it is. And we see it all the time.
And I think that's why, like, sometimes people are like, when people are together 10, 20, 30 years, all of a sudden they end. I think it's because all these things have been like there at the surface, but they really haven't been dealt with, just maybe passively aggressively dealt with or aggressively aggressively dealt with in moments, but they've never really worked through how to like resolve through those situations. So then people are surprised, like it ends. And I'm like, I mean, from my perspective, and I'm guessing you guys see this in your practice, it's like, it's probably a history of things that we're building and building and building. And then it's that one thing. It's kind of like friendships. Like, you know, someone could do something to you. Me and my friend were joking about this like 100 times. And it's that 107th time you're like, I'm done. And your friend's like, but I did this to you like 106 times.
Yeah.
But it's that like tipping point that just takes you away from that, you know, relationship. So anyway, go ahead.
I was going to say, yeah, I think assertive communication, to your point, you said like, yeah, there's the passive communication and the aggressive communication or behavior. We're big, big proponents of assertive communication, of that is healthy conflict. You don't have to agree. You can be direct. But assertive communication is still respectful. But again, like you don't have to agree, but here is my need. This is how I feel. This is what I'm wanting. And then you let your partner take it away. But assertive communication is like our biggest tool, I think, and like under like concept almost for that healthy arguing.
Yeah, that's interesting. We have thoroughly enjoyed talking to you guys. You're so much fun. We appreciate you coming on the show. You know, again, tell people your full names, your website, where they can find you guys, and also about your masterclass again.
Just notice you said full name, so I'm looking to hear the full names again.
Kay loves their names, and I think you guys will too, apparently.
I feel so much better about my name now. But I'm Rachel Fascio, and this is Stacey Sherrell. We are the duo behind Decoding Couples. You can find us at decodingcouples.com or on Instagram, decoding_couples. We've got a free masterclass if you want to get a little taste of what it's like to learn something with us. And then we have an online course about how to break some of these cycles that we all get stuck in. You're normal and it can be different. And that's really, we give very straight to the point, no fluff tools, because we believe that people don't have to exist in relationships like this. So why not do something about it? And we love doing this with you guys. We could do this all day long.
Oh, yeah.
That would be a 3-hour podcast.
I know. We love this stuff too. So we could go just at it just as long too. But thank you for normalizing that. You know, we all have challenges in relationships. Nothing, you know, no one's sitting in a perfect relationship. And that, you know, it takes work and time and effort, but with the right tools, you can have a more higher quality relationship and rewarding relationship. And I think that's what people are looking for. So thank you guys for coming on the show. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to end the show there. Thank you all for joining us again on another episode of Bed Talks. Remember, you can subscribe to other episodes of Bed Talks on the Anchor app, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many other platforms. And as always, we appreciate your support. And thank you again to our guests, Rachel and Stacey. And please remember to check them out at decodingcouples.com, correct? All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, guys. And so we'll tune off now.
Bye.
Until next time, XOXO.